time I realised it was true, and not just a cruel dream. There had been no body to bury, but apparently that's not uncommon when people are lost up the side of a mountain like K2. People can lie undiscovered for years up there, so I'm told. Sobering thought. Over and over, I asked myself why she couldn't just be satisfied with bagging Munros here in Scotland. It's not as if there's a shortage, but of course, that wasn't enough of a challenge for her. She was a free spirit, an adrenaline junkie. The stupid thing was that I wasn't even there when her accident happened, but for some bizarre reason, my psyche had built up its own series of events and insisted on torturing me with the movie of Mary's death every time I closed my eyes. What I wouldn't give for a peaceful night's sleep. I'd taken on extra work whenever I wasn't on the water. The boat was only a seasonal thing anyway, and although tourists loved the area surrounding the bridge over the Atlantic, taking a trip out on Little Blue on choppy water wasn't for faint-hearted, unseasoned sailors. So I'd taken on work as a handyman. I was fixing taps, sealing sinks, unblocking drains. Oddly, all the jobs seemed to be water-related. Maybe that was because I had a combination of water and single malt running through my veins. Who knows? Keeping busy was my intention. Being occupied was the only thing stopping me from slipping into a deep depression. And I knew all too well how easy it would have been just to let go and fall into the abyss, as Mary did in my nightmares. I'd met her when I was out walking. I'd pretty much given up hope of ever falling in love for real. I'd had a shot at it before. Alice was her name. But the less said about her right now, the better. But life likes to throw in curveballs every so often. And so, there I was up by the Buckle, aka the Buckle. Etive Moor in the Highlands, taking in the finest scenery my home country has to offer and the freshest air you could ever wish to breathe. When this fiery-haired girl tripped over her laces and into my arms. She had the most stunning smile I'd ever seen. And her eyes. Let's just say, when she gazed up at me, she melted my heart. We chatted for ages and it was just so natural. It turned out she and I shared a passion for the great outdoors, the rugged expanses of moorland that stretched out around us in their palette of browns, russets, and gold were a pull for both of us. Only her sense of adventure outweighed mine 10-1. Where I loved to saunter along, appreciating the warm, musty smell of the bracken and heather, she loved to climb anything that had stood still for over 100 years. And here in Scotland, there's plenty of that around. It was clear to me, from that first meeting, that I was never going to be the same again. Our relationship progressed quickly and was very physical. I was a fair few years older than her, but I had no trouble keeping up, if you know what I mean. I loved every inch of her body with a passion I'd never experienced before. It was raw and real. I'd sit watching her as she studied maps and reference books about climbing. Every so often she'd glance up and catch me staring and she'd just smile, climb into my lap and kiss me. After Alice and I split, I won't bore you with the details yet, let's just say that she was a nasty piece of work who messed with my head and broke my heart more than once. I swore off love and all it entailed. I didn't need a woman in my life, or so I thought. But when I lost Mary, it was as if someone had ripped out my heart and stamped on it whilst I watched. The pain was excruciating. Physical, gut-twisting pain. I felt...